welcome to Green Talk, the weekly RC racing podcast with your host, myself, Russell Lee, and as always, the fantastic Chris Bird. How you doing, Chris?
Do you know what, mate? I've had a pretty good week, so why don't you make it a bit better and tell me all about our lovely sponsors?
I will tell you all about them. So massive thanks to CMO Distribution, RC House, Schumacher Racing and Will Speed, the companies that keep us in every week and lovingly throw us a couple of prizes at Christmas. So Chris, as always, straight in with it. And this week it's Dan Cooper and Pete Mulcahy. How you doing, guys? You all right from the Potteries Club?
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
You
okay?
Yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Not too bad, mate.
It's great to get you on to talk, obviously, to talk about the new Potteries outdoor track. I mean, the last time we spoke, it was probably 12, 18 months ago, maybe. You just got a field. And then it ended up that the field you're on now wasn't that field. So a lot's gone on since then.
Yeah, we got messed around with the original farmer. He proper messed us around, so we decided to walk away. And I went driving around my local area and bumped into a farmer and went, can I rent that field off you?
Yeah.
That seems like a logical way to do it. Just drive around and randomly asking shotgun-wielding farmers if you can rent some field of sheep when you've got a Welsh accent.
Oh, God, yeah. I've even knocked on Eddie Hall's door asking for his shipping container that he advertised on YouTube. Because Eddie Hall lives not far from up the road from me.
Okay.
So I went and knocked on his door.
What's he like in real life? He looks all right, son. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is. Right? Yeah, he's sound. Yeah, he's really sound. He's down to earth and a legend.
Yeah. To be fair, you probably could have asked him to come and give you a lift carrying some of the Astra.
I never thought of that. That was a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've gone to town, haven't you, really, with, you know, there's no half measures with the roster. As you just said, you know, you've got two containers on top of each other. Mm-hmm. Talk about covered road rostrum. That's an enclosed rostrum. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that was the support with Dan. Dan, you got the stairs, didn't you, mate?
Well, yeah. I mean, as a member of our indoor club, although we're the same club, offered us a couple of 20-foot containers. So we found a 40-footer on eBay for £100. And then we thought, yeah, if we're going to do it, we'll just do it properly from the off. My employer was kind enough to donate a couple of staircases, which is a big cost, obviously, if you go into that level. So all in all, it looks impressive. It does the job really well, and it wasn't as expensive as what you might think in the end.
No. Did you have to get him brought in on like a wagon or a container, or did the farmer carry him in on his forklift? Or
so we've got a pretty impressive sketchy video of how we got that 40 footer on the top. So we've got a load all at one side and a digger at the other. Just carried it across the field and then lifted it up.
Whilst the
fluid movement.
Yeah, the field was really bad, wasn't it, at one point? And the load all was struggling to get through the field, but just about managed to do it.
It was all good fun.
Yeah. It was rather sketchy, shall we say.
It sounds it, to be fair. Like,
yeah. It was not as sketchy as the way we moved all the Astra, which was on top of a dumper. So all four rolls on the top of a dumper, travelling down the field and wobbling and all sorts. Yeah, that was really sketchy, to be fair. It was like, right, everybody back.
Did you have your health and safety high-vis vests on?
Do I answer that officially or unofficially?
I bet they all had trainers on.
Yeah.
That was the level of the day. That was the level of the day, trainers. Yeah.
Yeah,
class.
Yeah, get it done. That's all we cared about.
I mean, obviously the track as well. We must talk about that. It looks really good. I mean, obviously Chris, you raced on there last week.
I did.
But it's like, I like what you've done. Like, I like how it's flat, and you've got the features you can move around. You know, I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it just makes it easier. I mean, we can do anything we want with that now.
Exactly.
We can run it
proper modular,
the opposite way around. We can put it straight up the back. We can, that tabletop that we've built, we can move that in a couple of hours. And we can introduce more features as and when we get the time to.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I will say is it's the pictures are quite deceptive in terms of when you say it's a nice flat track. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like, you know, you're not driving over the Alps, but and I love the fact that it's like this. It's a proper off-road track where there's bumps and, like, you know, it can actually, it can throw the car around a bit and upset it a little bit. And I think a lot of these off-road tracks now, and I use air quotes on an audio-only podcast, but I think they strive to be too flat. And I do like it that it's flat in places, it's bumpy in others. You've got a couple of, like, nice little natural give and take bits, and it was really good. And you know, the layout was quite decent as well.
You've actually done more laps around it than me, Chris, so I'll have to take your word on it, to be fair.
Well, yeah, because you obviously somehow drew the short straw, didn't you? And you got covered with race control.
Yeah, I was going to book into the open class, to be fair, but then I thought, just in case we have any teething issues, which I knew we would because it was our first meeting, to be fair, I thought it'd be better for me to concentrate on the race control than actually race. And it was a good job that we did because we had a couple of issues and I made a few mistakes, but we rectified it as we went.
Yeah, but there weren't, like, when you say mistakes, there weren't, like, you know,
a 40-minute hold-up mistake.
Yeah, no, it's you know, the container didn't fall on somebody's head. It's not like, you know, it was for one of the rounds, you know, and I don't mean to disclose your error, but it was, like I say, it was only a very slight one. Yeah. It was the way Live RC picked up the start order for the next round was a bit wonky.
Yeah, it was the because we usually at our club we have people's names called out. Where at regionals you've got to have numbers. So it was one box that I didn't click to say keep the same car number, and I forgot to click it, which is why going from qualifying one to qualifying two, it reseeded all the numbers. So your times and everything were correct and the way they should be. It just rechanged your car numbers to the way you finished from qualifying one, which was a bit frustrating. But hey,
yeah, you know what though, that's the biggest sort of error, if you like. I don't even class it as an error because nothing got affected ultimately, but for an opening day, for that to be the only thing that really went wrong, I think we did awesome, to be honest.
I'll tell you what, I've been to a lot of big meetings, nationals, regionals for years, Euros. Honestly, I've been to two Euros that were complete cluster, but you know, You outperformed the EFRA team for that event.
That I think that's a compliment.
Well, it is. You know, EFRA are supposed to be professionals at this, and you guys are the perennial volunteers. So, you know, you outperformed professionals. There you go.
Yeah. No, appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, the shout out to Dan, to be fair, with the track, because he designed that one. I might go up tomorrow evening and have a bit of a play and see what I can do around it. But yeah, it looks an awesome track, to be fair.
Yeah, it was really good. It promoted some quite good racing. There was overtaking spots, but it was technical. There were a lot of places you could if you couldn't overtake, you could pressure somebody into a mistake. The grip held up well in the wet.
Cool.
So, yeah, overall, very, very good experience. And like you said, there's club meetings. I've already booked in for that.
Yeah, pleasure to have you back. It really is. How did you find the back straight, Chris? Was it too bumpy or was it just about the right level?
It was bumpy. But there was a line through it.
Yeah.
And if you took the time to learn the line, then you could get through it. But if you didn't respect it and you didn't have a well set up car through the bumps, it was going to, you know, kick you in the backside.
I mean, to be honest, we knew the bump was on that back straight, and we talked about changing the layout to accommodate for it. But as you said, there was a line through it. it wasn't, as long as you respected that line, it didn't really cause any problems. So we decided to leave it in. It's a point of jeopardy, if you like.
I mean,
as you said earlier, the track shouldn't just be completely flat and easy. There should be a challenge in there somewhere.
I totally agree. You know, I think bumps nowadays, it's the sign of a well-sorted chassis, not just what you've got on it and how well, you know, you can set a car up. I think what it does is it shows you how good is the actual chassis of the car you're driving. How well has it been designed? Is it capable of getting through those bumpy sections? Because I think the advent of carpet, a lot of the manufacturers kind of went towards carpet cars, really.
I agree.
And we forget that the class is called 10th off-road. You know, if it was 10th on-road, we'd all be driving touring cars. So, yeah. But no, I thought you did a really good job on the design. I don't like complimenting you, Dan.
So, Dan, did you smash Chris on Sunday then, or what?
I smashed him, but only a tiny bit. only by a tiny bit.
The two finals, the two finals that we counted, I added it up, and there was 4 and a bit seconds that separated us over 10 minutes.
Wow,
that's close.
In the finals, but all three finals, as it turned out, I got away clean off the start. I knew I hadn't got the pace of the front three, and it was just a matter of just trying to not doing anything stupid, make sure I got that fourth place. And towards the end of each final, Chris was just like getting closer and closer. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to push. I can deal with this. and he got pretty close to me a few times, but just about held on to it. I think it was. It's your best result ever, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, mate. I've never managed. That was my first regional A, and
you finished fifth overall, Chris.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to start. I'm gonna have to stick some Dolly Parton stickers on my car, because on both occasions I went from 9 to 5. So maybe I need to get some implants and a blonde wig.
Please don't.
Yeah, please don't. It's not an image I want in my head. It really isn't.
But yeah, so it was. Yeah, and like you say, it was just I managed to get through clean on the first two laps. I nearly screwed it all up in the second one when my gearbox went. But well, it wasn't my gearbox; it was my drive shaft. So I finished the last lap on front wheel drive only, but still managed to get fifth. So kept my net fifth overall.
You had a fifth in Q1, A1, a fifth in A2, and an eighth in A3.
A3.
The work was done by then.
A3
was just to send it and see what happened. And I didn't get through clean on the first corner in that leg.
You're just a bit unlucky.
You did really well, mate. Really well.
Yeah, it was. It was good fun. And I think apart from Mr. Yardy spoiling the fun, the top four... Top five, four of them were the associated cars, which was nice. You know, that we'd got the whole team there and we managed to get everybody sort of going well enough to make that sort of impact. I mean, I think the A final cars. Was there five of them? So five in the A were the A cars.
Yeah.
I suppose we've got to give a shout out to a certain somebody, haven't we? One of the local Stoke heroes and
worldwide hero.
Worldwide hero and the only saviour of modern RC.
Factory Futaba.
Factory Futaba driver. Obviously, you know, he had factory Alan O'Brien on the phone for setup advice as well. So Mr. Patterson was also made his first regional A.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And he finished 9th overall, which is really, really impressive, to be fair. I bet he's buzzing off it.
Yeah. I mean, even though he was, you know, handicapped with an S-Works car, he was...
Imagine what he could have done with an Associated.
Oh, mate, he'd have probably taken you and won. You know, just remember, he is the one true saviour.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, Tom Phipps and Tom Yardy, I distinctly remember having a conversation of them saying, thank God he didn't have an Associated because, you know, he'd have won.
Yeah, he would have obliterated.
Yeah, yeah, but Ash was absolutely buzzing. Yeah. Really pleased for him. He drove really well. He deserved it.
He did.
So, there's quite a few firsts. S-Works.
Yeah. It was quite a few firsts, really, wasn't it, at the opening entry of the four-wheel drive, with obviously the battle between Tom Yardy and Tom Phipps was absolutely amazing, especially in leg three.
Yeah, I mean, it was the kind of thing I could hear it going on, and I was kind of thinking, shit, I don't really get to watch this.
It was interesting to watch because you could see Thomas Phipps was quicker in the first half of the track, where Mr. Yardy was faster in the second half of the track. And it was literally anybody's game. I think I looked at their fastest lap, and it was like 0.2 of a second between them. There was nothing in it. Yeah, 0.2, yeah.
I do need to recommend something to the, you know, like these kids that have now got aspirations of making A finals and stuff. Mm. Don't do it, because you get absolutely done in, because not only do you have to do your normal marshalling stint, you have to marshal again. And then I got made to ref. So it was like,
you should have had a word with Mike on that one.
If you just stay, it was Mike that made me ref. I was like, if you just stay in the C final, you only have to marshal once, you're cool. But
you made a mistake there, didn't you?
Yeah, I will return on purpose, of course, to being back in the C final this weekend. You know, just so I don't have to marshal that many times.
Yeah. Are you racing this weekend at Oswestry?
I am, yes. I'm assuming you'll want some pitting space for that as well.
Oh, yes, please, if possible.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Just go back a sec, if I may, sorry. We mentioned there was some firsts at the weekend. I didn't realise that young Thomas Phipps hadn't won a regional meeting before.
No. You just kind of expect that he has done, don't you?
Yeah, because he's been up there for a few years now, so... well done, Thomas and Gordy.
Yeah. It's first time he's TQ'd and won as well, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, I think he's TQ'd one in Oswestry, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
But I think I might be incorrect. I'll get corrected with a phone call, I'm sure. But, yeah, and to be fair, I think it's more Gordy than Thomas.
That's what I keep telling you, and he's only as quick as he is because I do his cars.
Well, you didn't this weekend.
No, I didn't, and it showed.
And he didn't have a very good result, did he, unfortunately, the poor kid. But
No, he didn't. He struggled.
We'll sort him out. We'll get him going.
Yeah. I think he is stronger with his two-wheel drive at the moment because, obviously, the Associated he's only just going to cross to. But once we get that four-wheel drive and get an idea of what it can do, then he'll be back up there again. He'll be back up pushing.
Yeah, of course he will. He's turned out to be a good little driver the last couple of weeks. Well, couple of months now.
And thank you.
I think the swap seems to have done him some good.
It has.
He seems to be enjoying his racing again.
Yeah, he's buzzing off it. To be fair, he doesn't like maintaining them, but he does buzz off it for racing. So, and all the maintenance is left down to me. But I suppose that's why I think being a pit person, shall we say?
That's called being dad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he keeps putting me in my place.
Well, on the track, he certainly does.
Oh, doesn't he just? I remember I'm actually going back to Robin Hood Raceway at the end of the month to the Scott Yearnish race, and that was the very first time he ever officially beat me, and everybody cheered.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, Dan was there, yeah.
Yeah,
I think I might have actually had it on film at one point. You know.
Yeah, you can delete that.
Yeah. So go on then. You start a track. You've got an indoor club going. So all your time is pretty much taken up anyway. And you know you run ragged as it is just doing indoor stuff and maintaining your own car. Who actually turned around and went, should we do an outdoor track? Let's just you spend the rest of our time doing another thing.
I think it was both of us.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I think from the offset, we always wanted an outdoor track. Yeah. And not just us two, you know, the other guys in the committee as well. Yeah, indoors is a lot easier to set up. You know, you haven't got to buy or do as much work to just get the place going. So that made sense, obviously, just to get an indoor club going. And we had something in the area as well then, and try and build up a base of drivers. And when the time was right and we'd done it for a couple of years, we thought, yep, let's do it. Let's find some land and just go for it.
Yeah. So you said that the original land and the original place you were planning for it to go is not where it is now, is it? It's you had a bit of a
that's right, yeah.
A bit of a dopey farmer that didn't want any.
We had a farmer who was, I think he was just trying to. He was putting us and an air rifle association and some quad bikers, and just I think he was just using each group against each other to try and pump the prices up. And in the end, you know, we got fed up of waiting and playing that game. So
I said thank you, but no, thank you.
Yeah,
I didn't even say that. We literally just walked away and didn't even say anything. So I thought, if you're messing us around and being rude with us, then you can have a taste of your own medicine, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's fair enough, isn't it? You had a general thing and obviously a clear passion for the hobby. You know, otherwise you wouldn't be sort of in as deep as you are. And to be messed around, I think, when you've got a passion like that for a hobby and you're just trying to do something that benefits you, walking away probably was the best result in the end, and just saying, ah, you're all right, Pop.
Yeah.
To be fair, the new farmer that we've got now, he's absolutely amazing. Built up a brilliant relationship with him. He supports us. I borrowed his load off in the other week and he didn't charge us for it, which was absolutely amazing. Yeah, it's really good. He just kind of like lets us get on with it. As long as you don't make too much noise or make a mess, he's happy. Just lets us get on with it, which is brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we were over doing some track work on the Sunday and he brought over some rubber mats because obviously we were a bit concerned about the rain and how the field would hold up considering it had so much building work done on it. And he just turns up with a digger and some cow mats, aren't they? The rubber mats they have in the barns.
Yeah, they are.
And was just like, hey, oh, you can use these. And I think, yeah. was it your wife, Yvonne, that said, I've Googled them and they're about 200 quid each.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, there's two of them. Cool. Drive them over on his digger.
Yep. Yeah, I'll probably have to return them, like, but he's not in any rush to have them back. So I spoke to him not long after. He said, yeah, keep hold of them until you no longer need them, and then I'll have them back.
Yeah. And I think he's become a bit, from what you were saying, he was a little bit resistant to certain changes, but then as he sees the commitment and what's actually going on, he seems to be more and more open to more development, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's really, the first time I spoke to him, he says, oh, give me a ring in a couple of days. I'm hard to get hold of, but keep ringing me. And he was a nightmare to get hold of. So I'd be ringing him, take weeks to get hold of him. It really was that bad. But then as the time has gone on and I've been chasing him to pay his rent and so on towards him, he's now answering the phone every single time that I ring him. So that bond between us is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. It really is.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And that just, if it solidifies a good relationship that you can then, you know, keep the track and have somebody, a farmer on side with you that's, you know, into that and open to working together, it makes your life a lot easier and it means that we get a better track for our local races.
Yeah, it's my next one I'm going to chat him up with is the chicken coop that's to the side of the track. In there, there's actually proper toilets, but they need a good clean. So right. I'm going to chat him up and see if we can maintain them, clean them and use them, yeah, instead of having port-a-loos. So hopefully that'll be another tick in the box for the club having a proper toilet rather than the two portaloos that we got at the moment.
Yeah. And of course, there's, you know, there's lots of scope for development around there, isn't it? There's lots of space. And it's quite a nice venue, actually. It's, you're kind of not out in the middle of nowhere, but you're not in a crowded space where you're going to have sort of a la Nemo, have loads of complaining neighbours because there isn't any. You know, Daisy the cow ain't coming to kick off that we're being a bit loud.
No, however, the local bull has taken a shine to Craig, my oaf. He really has taken a shine to him.
Well, I think Craig, from what I was talking to, I think Craig's took a shine to the local bull as well.
I think there's a bit of a romance brewing there.
But so what have you got planned next for the track? Because obviously we know that you're not the kind of people that want to sit still and rest on the successes you've already had. You've got another regional coming up. Do you think we'll see any changes for the other regional? Or
We've got two regionals coming still, because we've got two rounds of four-wheel drive. I've got some more features planned. How big we go, I'm not sure yet, because it's got to be suitable for all drivers, of course. But there'll be at least layout changes, a couple of new features. We've obviously got a lot of work still to do in the field to make that more friendly. We want to get the fencing sorted. We've just invested in a new sound system, so we've put quite a bit of money into that as well. So that'll be ready in the next couple of weeks. So it's just constant.
Yeah,
I think the biggest changes will probably come next year. So I think we now need to kind of like just tart up a bit of what we've already got, get it usable, keep people happy. And then next year, once we've had a bit of a break and settled down, then we'll probably go back at it again and make some big changes again for next year. I've got things in mind. Dan's got things in mind. And to be fair, the two of us, we're normally on the same wavelength, which makes us a really good team. But it's not just me and Dan, it's the rest of the committee as well. And we're all hands on and come up with brilliant ideas and we implement them.
Yeah. So, you know, when you say you're on the same wavelength, does that mean you both like getting rollers stuck in the mud?
Not so much on that one. That's a Dan specialty, that is.
Hey, listen, I'll challenge anyone to drive a 3-ton roller over a muddy field without getting it stuck at least once. It's not easy.
But the question is, Dan, and would most people have looked at it and gone, that roller's 3-ton, that field's a marsh? Probably leave that roller where it is.
Possibly, but if most people wouldn't have got a meeting on last Sunday if they took that attitude. Yeah, you've got to roll your sleeves up sometimes and get stuck in. If we hadn't done it, we wouldn't have had a meeting. So if that means I've got to get a roller stuck, then I will get a roller stuck.
What were your roller in, the track or the car park?
Yeah, the car park, the field.
The car park field.
Have you treated up getting the machines in and out, like through the winter with the containers and everything? Or
It was a mess a few months ago. It's not perfect now by any stretch, but it's a lot better.
The digger we had in there was a 14-ton digger and a 20-ton dumper. So you can imagine just the weight of them on their own. It's just driving back and forth, and it's been the wettest March on record. It's just absolutely destroyed the field. If you saw it back 4 weeks ago to what it is now, it now is perfect compared to what it was. It really is. And that was with Dan just constantly roller in the top half of the field. And then he decided to be a bit brave and come down and start rolling in the bottom. And to be fair, the first pass was okay. The second pass, he kind of like sank. So we left it there for a few hours for it to firm up. And then we all got hands in and started pushing and got him out. And then he thought he'd be brave again and try it again and sank again. So that was no mean feat to get out that second time, to be fair. But yeah, nothing ventured, nothing gained is what we always say, isn't it?
There's something I do want to point out for the listeners to kind of understand. What day was it you broke ground for the first
January January the 13th.
That was starting to cut the grass. That wasn't actually putting the track in or anything. That was just cutting the grass. And the grass was up past my waist.
Yeah, I think that day we cut the grass and we marked out the area where we wanted the field, the track.
Yeah, that was kind of my point. What I kind of want people to understand is this wasn't just a case of you've decided to have a track and then took a year or whatever to plan it and then another year to build it and it's been coming and coming and then it hasn't been. This was broke ground literally January, February, March, 2.5 months ago. Three and a half months ago.
Yeah. And in that time, we've put foundations in for the rostrum, three rostrums in place, dug the track out, rolled the Astro, pulled out loads of self-seeding trees, which are legally allowed to do that. That's fine. Filled up hoses, all sorts, literally loads. And it's taken ages.
And since January the 13th, I don't think it stopped raining.
No.
I've been up there pretty much. Well, I'm Pete and the other guys, we've been up there pretty much every Saturday and Sunday since then. Rain, hail, or shine, dragging AstroTurf around when it's absolutely pouring down is no fun, I can tell you.
No. Well, 2 weeks before the regionals, I was been working like 14-hour days, coming home and then going up to the track for an hour just to do a little bit. And again, Dan, the same, working silly hours and going straight up there and doing more work. It's been hard.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's not just sacrifice on your part. I mean, I know Potteries I've spoke about it on here before, is a very family orientated club. But when we say that, it's not just yourselves that have been up there. I'm gonna say nice things about Yvonne, Dan, because she's scary. But me and Pete's wife fell out because she asked me if I was in the E-final, and there wasn't even an E-final. So we fell out. So she's not getting any credit for anything she's done or sacrificed for this.
To be fair, Chris, normally you would be in the E-final.
I would not. I have not been in an E-final at a regional for years. But they've obviously sacrificed a lot to come down and do the work that they've done on the track as well, and obviously sacrificed family time with you guys.
Yeah, I think for me personally, sorry, I'm going to have to butt in here. Yvonne, I can't thank Yvonne enough. She's been an absolute treasure. She really has. She's been digging out self-seeding trees, dragging them down the field. And to be fair, she's probably put most of us to shame. She really has, because obviously she doesn't race. She just supports Dan being her husband. She gets stuck in. And yeah, I can't fault her. I really can't. Absolutely hats off to her, and I can't thank her enough.
Yeah, thank you, gents.
Do a lot. Even the weekend, she was running around, still doing stuff, taking pictures. I agree. She's put you both to shame.
Yeah, she does. Indoor track, she helps marshal in, she helps set up, she helps pack away. And she doesn't like the sport. I'm not saying she doesn't like the sport, but she doesn't do anything with the sport apart from supporting Dan and me and obviously the rest of the committee. And she does. She puts a lot of racers to shame.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got a jump or a roller carpet in her arms. So, fair play. Yeah. We will.
She's also our safeguarding officer for the club, because we decided that we were going to have a safeguarding officer and try and lead the way within clubs, because I think it's important. So she is our safeguarding officer and our first aider as well. So she is very much part of the club, and without her, we would be a bit stuck, to be fair.
Up a creek.
You could say that.
I think, yeah. So if you're ever at Stoke at Potteries and you're racing at the Michelin Centre on a Friday night, there's a bar. Everybody should just go and buy Yvonne a beer. Not Dan.
Yeah, but I'd have to drive home.
Yeah, exactly. It's the least you can do, mate. If she's done more work on the track than you, it's the very least you can do is drive home for a night.
Yeah, I agree.
So
you raised some very valid points there, though, Jensen. Thank you. And I know she'll she will appreciate it because she does a hell of a lot of work. And she doesn't just, you know, pretty much every time I'm at the track, she'll come with me. And if I'm up there with Jensen, or she'll go off and do something else, and she'll be moving trees around. She'll be digging up tree roots. She doesn't even stop at home. You know, she's made all the signs that we've put on the fences for the livestock, and sorted out all the little first aid posters that we've got and all the details of that. So yeah, she's done a lot of work for the club, and it's really appreciated.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if she keeps doing such a good job with the safeguarding stuff she's doing, I might have to co-opt her as a deputy into the BRCA committee to help me go around clubs, because it's getting I might be dragging around random clubs of a Thursday night. So you might have to find somebody else to do the work at Potteries if you carry on.
Not a chance. No chance.
But we're at that point. So maybe we should just get Yvonne on instead of talking to you, Dan.
Maybe, yeah.
Get the gaffer on.
get the real boss on.
How are you going to be running the outdoor venue? Is it going to be you pay your membership and you get access whenever you want, or is it just practice on Saturdays and Sundays? And how are you running that side of it?
I better let Pete answer, because he's ultimately the boss, and I don't think we've decided yet.
To be fair, with you being the treasurer, I was hoping you were going to answer it. To be honest with you, we're kind of like, we're still undecided. We're going to stick with the membership like we have indoors for the time being, but it will be kept as, if you're a member, you can go up and use the track to practice and whatnot. And if you want to use it as a practice but you're not a member, then we'll probably ask you to pay a fee towards it and then go and use it. Yeah. So very similar to Telford, I suppose.
Yeah. Do like a day fee.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you're planning to charge for memberships. Obviously, that's something that you'll discuss and release as and when you as a committee decide. But if you're a local racer, from my experience already at the track, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
You've got a really good facility there. I mean, we've obviously had conversations in the background regarding, making sure that the track was done to us to like sort of national spec the first time, so you weren't wasting funds and energy doing it all again. Your rostrum is, Euro spec, really. It's really good. So you are going the right way, aren't you? About, you are wanting to host bigger meetings, regionals isn't where it ends.
Oh God, no. We, I think Dan will agree with me on this one. You want to go for like apply for a nationals, which might, I'm guessing, will probably be some like a junior championship or something like that, just to get our feet under the table, and then try and go bigger again the year after.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the facility's amazing, so I can't see why you wouldn't be able to do it. Certainly within the remit of what you could handle. I don't think anybody that was there Saturday would say anything.
We just need to get the field sorted first and tidy the weeds and everything up, and then I also need to speak to the farmer to see if we can allow camping.
Yeah,
which I can't see an issue with it, to be fair, but obviously I just need to run it by him. But I don't want to put everything onto him straight away because he might panic a bit. So just a little bit at a time, and then hopefully by the time we come to hold the national, we'll be allowed to hold camp in and things like that as well.
Yeah, spot on, mate. But nothing. Yeah, I think everybody had a good day. I think most of the Facebook comments were positive, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I spoke to a couple of people, and I'm one of those people. I think Dan's the same as me. It's nice to hear all the positives, but sometimes you actually want to hear the constructive criticism, the negatives. Yep. So that way then you can grow and you can learn, which is the same as what I do with the indoor club, and I want to do it with the outdoor club. So if there's anything that's fundamentally wrong, speak to me and just say, look, I think you should do this, and I'll try and do it if I can.
Yeah, I think you get blinded. You know, we've been working on it so much, and we see it most days, and you just get blinded by what you're working on. So having some fresh eyes come in and give us some genuine feedback would be appreciated, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Like you say, you've got a club meeting this weekend?
So we've got we're a bit busy at the moment, to be fair. We've got the indoor racing, which is continuing. So that's on Friday evening. Then on Saturday, late morning, we've got the first outdoor club meeting.
Yeah, and that's at what time is that? Because if people are free, let's get some people down there.
It's a nice leisurely start at 10:30 a.m.
See, I like that of a Saturday. You ain't got to be out of bed stupidly early. You can just get up and, you know, chill out, have your breakfast, have a little mosey on down, throw your kit in the car, get set up, have a race, still be in time for a chippy and a pub on the way home.
Exactly.
So, no,
might even invest into a barbecue and just get the barbecue on the go.
Oh, yes. Now you're talking my sort of race meeting, mate.
Yeah, that's further down the line. That's not this Saturday, by the way.
Oh, gutted.
Yeah.
So if people do fancy booking in for this, and obviously it's Wednesday now we're saying this, so this will be released tomorrow night on the Thursday. Yeah. How do people book in?
So the easiest thing to do is make sure you're following our Facebook page. There is a pinned post on there which will take you directly to our website. And then you just fill in the booking form, make your payments, and that's it. You're in. If you don't do Facebook, go to outdoor.prcmcc.co.uk, and that's where the booking form is.
So... And how many can you hold on a Saturday? Are you limiting numbers? Because I know on a Friday you got kind of to the point where you were so popular that you had to limit numbers, didn't you? Really?
Yeah, in the winter months we with the time constraints indoors, we were limited to around about 50. But that's not going to be the case outdoors, I guess, Pete. How many are we going for?
To be honest with you, we can't really make a decision on that one until we actually see how busy we're going to be. obviously, I don't want to be pulling in like 100 races, which I can't see happening if I'm being brutally honest with you. But if we can pull in 40, then I'll be happy with that. So, yeah, there's no restrictions on it. It's just, whatever we can get.
I think at the weekend at the regional, there was 71 who attended, and there was plenty of space left. And that's factoring in half the field not being usable at the moment. So.
I don't think I'd want 70 fine. Just for a club night, if I'm being brutally honest with you, because I wouldn't want to be running too late into the day. So I think realistically, if we try and aim for about 50, and that would give a nice length of day and still time for people to get home at a sensible hour and whatnot.
Yeah, I think that's a great, 50 sounds fine to me. I'd be happy with that. And it's not a bad club night, not a bad amount for a club either. It gets and what people don't realise is that these club days, and it's not just yourselves, is it? If this is all clubs. If you don't support the club days, the club days go away because the clubs go away.
Yeah.
And we are experiencing this a lot of late, aren't we, in RC? We're losing clubs.
Yeah, it's difficult because when it's the indoor season, everybody wants to race indoors and so on, and then your outdoor track's not earning money. And then like we're experiencing now, people are going outdoors and there's not much to pay the bills for the indoor track. So it is hard for clubs, it really is. We're lucky because now we've got the outdoor track as well. So hopefully they'll subsidise each other. But there's a lot of clubs out there that haven't got that ability to have the outdoor track and they do struggle.
Yeah. So are you planning to keep both going throughout the whole year? Well, obviously outdoors, you'll probably knock on the head through the winter. But are you planning to keep the carpet track indoors on a Friday night going through the summer?
Yes, we're hoping to. But it'll all depend on how successful the outdoor track is. As long as that is successful, then we can keep the indoor track running. But we can't let the indoor track go during the summer because we'd lose it during the winter as well. It would be gone completely.
So we have to keep it going. Booking.
Yeah, have to. Yeah, even if people think...
We just need support. you know, get booked in, come and race.
Yeah. And it is one of the most friendly clubs to go to. You know, I like the fact that when you go there, there's a really good, like, heat of juniors, and it looks really good when you can see 12 or 15 of hopefully these kids that are going to carry on doing this hobby and pass it on through to the next generation and the next generation. And we'll see some of these kids starting at Potteries, and hopefully we'll see some of them winning nationals eventually.
It's quite funny you mentioned the kids. I wasn't going to mention this, to be fair, but I'm hoping Dan won't mind me mentioning it. On Sunday, all the kids were obviously at the field and they were playing and so on. I don't know if you saw them, but just behind the rostrum, they were climbing the tree.
Yeah.
They've actually named that tree the Friendship Tree.
Oh, that's quite cool.
Yeah. So we've decided as committee members, we're going to have a plaque made up to put on the tree to call it the Friendship Tree. So hopefully it'll encourage more kids to come and enjoy the hobby and also get together and play together and so on. So just try and encourage it.
Yeah, that's really good. And I'll tell you what I really liked about seeing that. They were playing like proper old school kids. Like you say, climbing up a tree, falling out of a tree, throwing dirt at each other, you know, rolling around in a muddy field in each other. I mean, you lot were all screwing because they were getting filthy. But I just thought that was what being a kid was like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's been good building the track in that respect, because like, I mean, my kids have been with me most of the time as of Pete's, and people who've come to help us have brought their kids as well, and throughout the whole building process, we've had this group of kids who've all got along and all been like you say, playing in mud and running through puddles, and it's been awesome. A few weeks ago, we had one lad running around holding a frog, which was he came over to me and I was like, whoa. I says, yeah, I'll tell you what, go into that container there. There's a lady called Yvonne. Show it to her.
Yvonne,
and then
not
just
like
heard
frogs.
The scream coming across the track.
Were you sleeping on the sofa that night, Dan?
Oh, no, man. It was funny. It was funny. She saw the funny side.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now
she's married to you, Dan. She's got to see the funny side of it.
Yeah.
Oh, she is, mate.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
But no, I thought it was a really good event. And I hope, you know, hopefully you've had lots of good feedback. And if there is any feedback that's been negative, hopefully people have forwarded that in a constructive way rather than any other way. But yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
really do appreciate it.
We've talked about our weekend. Maybe we should talk about, and because I know everybody's wanting to hear about this now. How did you get on, Russ?
Wasn't too bad. We were supposed to be racing both days, but this was a Neen Nitrocross, but we only ended up racing the first day because the second day was a total washout, unfortunately.
Ripper.
Yeah. We got there on the Sunday, and the awnings were flooded. The same flood was covering the track. There was that much rain. I mean, even driving there on the way, the rain was hammering down. So we only got to race on the Saturday. Wasn't too bad. I had a very lucky rain assist in the third round, but put me second in round.
You had a rain assist.
You had I was just about to say the same thing.
Yeah, but
Hold on. Let's talk about this, because you've never had a rain assist before, mate. What was it like having this rain assist?
It's the actual anniversary of that day today as well. I'm just thinking, this was just saying. It came from my Facebook memories of that MTQ in that regional, well, that round of the. Anyway, but yeah. Well, I mean, I've been going all right anyway. And I backed that up in the fourth round with the sixth in round on merit.
So you had two rain assists?
No, there's no rain assist in the second one. You flipping scumbag. It was just pure skill. So, yeah, so...
Who was driving the car then?
Me, obviously. I was absolutely flying, mate. Absolutely flying. So that ended up putting me sixth on the grid. But before I get to race my race, Bruce was off in the B final, and he managed to bump up at the B final, which is no mean feat after 20 minutes. And he ended up in the A with me. So he was off car 14 and I was car 6. Anyway, I didn't say I got put off in the first lap, but there was a massive melee right in the middle of the track, and I came off worse and came out of it last, sort of thing. So at this point, Bruce had got past me while I was on my roof being marshaled or whatever.
So Bruce was beating you?
Yeah. No. It was a 25-minute race. Anything can happen.
But at this point, was he beating you?
He was in front of me. Yeah, he was hardly beating me.
Thank you. Well,
I managed to dispatch a couple of cars and I caught up with Bruce. And at this point, Ollie Frosk, who also had a bad start, came past me and then was started in the battle with Bruce. So there was three of us running around for it felt like four or five laps. It was probably like two or three, maybe. I tell you what, it was awesome running with him. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to kind of hang around here and see what this is like. And he was driving so well. And I thought, right, I'm going to crack on now. And I had no speed left to go. And every time I tried to overtake him, he literally slammed the door like you wouldn't believe. Honestly. He
aggressively shut you out.
But no contact.
Nice one, Bruce.
Absolutely. Honestly, mate. It was so nice. So nice. We run around a lot in practice. But to be in a race, yeah, it was absolutely class, mate. It's really good. But he crashed, obviously. And I was kept plugging away. And like I said, I was in 14th at one point, and I came over the line in fourth. And Bruce finished 10th. So yeah, so he
went. Not a bad effort from the little man.
Yeah. No, he's absolutely no. So he was chuffed. To be honest, he said to me afterwards, he felt, these are my words, but he's basically saying he was a bit out of his depth. With it. You know, everyone was a lot faster. So he decided to try and do the triple in the middle. There's like a massive bomb hole that you can hit and try and hit the up ramp on the opposite side. It's not really doable. But he spent five laps trying to do it anyway.
He decided it
was. And he broke his exhaust and knocked the tailpipe off. But he was all right. We had an absolute right crack from obviously me and him doing well, and you know the other lads went well as well. So yeah, it was a real good one. It's coming though, Chris. So I know you're dying for it to happen.
I am, but the thing is,
and so I don't want,
the thing is, I also I don't want the listeners to think I'm just bullying you. I mean, I am, because you know, but I know you want it to happen as well, deep down. So
yeah.
It's always worth having a laugh about.
It is. I said like this year I thought, you know, we'd be racing to get like not together but each other, you know. And I think that was my plan this year to do this year, you know, race together and then maybe look, because I think he'll have beat me a couple of times by the end of the year, but on merit rather than something happening, you know.
Yeah.
He's getting there, mate. He's getting there.
You'll have mixed emotions on that. The first time he beat you, you will have mixed emotions. One of you will be thinking, you little bugger, you've beaten me. But on the flip side of you, you'll be so proud for the fact that he's stepped up his game and he's beaten you.
Every time it's a nice feeling. Every time he's in front of me now, it is like panic stations for me. I'm really like, oh my God, what are we going to do? So, yeah.
Do you ever think, God, if he beats me, Chris, he's going to ruin me on this podcast?
Nah.
Is that what spurs you on to fight to keep ahead?
The problem is, Chris, if it means he's beating Russ, he's not going to be a million miles away from beating you.
Yeah. Oh, mate, it's not like, I mean, little Reuben Russell at the last national beat me. But he beat his dad by two finals, so I'm still hanging in there, mate. I'm still putting a fight up against these youngsters. but you know what? Like, I've known Reuben for a few years now, and you know, and obviously, you know Bruce, and it's happening with like little Harry Saunders, and like you look at him and you think, you know what? It actually, you know, I'd love to. I like the idea of it. I can't wait for them to get fast to the point where they do beat us, because I'm not going to be able to go and win a national, but like these kids could, and
yeah,
you know, to be able to look back and go, you know what? I was watching that from the start. It's really, I think the stuff like that's really cool. So, you know, hopefully we will get to see some more of these juniors getting even faster.
It's nice seeing the juniors progress. Look, it's like the Hall brothers. I can remember when they first came on the scene, and for quite a few years, I was a lot quicker than them. Now it's just massive role reversal.
When you say for quite a few years, are you getting the word years and weeks confused?
No, it was years, but it was quite a few years ago.
Yeah, were they like three and four?
Yeah, probably somewhere around there. Yeah. freshly into the hobby. But even when they first came in, they were like really, really quick, considering they were fresh into the hobby. Like, but yeah, it is nice to see the kids grow up and do really, really well. It really is.
Yes, it's awesome to see. But so I think we've been waffling on for quite some time now. I know you two are avid weekly listeners. So what is your Hall of Fame? I suppose we'll give you one each if you need it.
We're gonna
go for the joint one.
Yeah.
Oh nice.
Yeah. Go on, Pete.
No, go on, you can do it. Mate, you can do it.
Okay, so we are going to put a young man into the Hall of Fame who lives and breathes the hobby and is a massive part of the Potterers Club. He isn't on here tonight, mainly because I don't think it's his sort of thing, but without him, we definitely wouldn't be where we are. So we want to put Craig Goodall in.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think he's technologically advanced enough to pick a phone up and, you know, have a call. But I know he's a weekly listener, so there you go. Hopefully he'll there's no like gold ring for it or anything, and you know, there's nothing like that, but there you go, Craig. Maybe you can have a cuddle off the bull in the field.
He'll enjoy that.
Awesome, gents. Thank you for coming on. It's been great speaking to you.
Thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Before we let you go, lads, do you want to say thank you to anyone? Friends, family, sponsors, long-suffering wife, anyone at all?
Go on, Dan, over to you. I think you've made a list, haven't you, who you want to
say? I've made a list, which actually is quite a large list. So I don't think I want to read everybody's name out in case I've missed anybody. But just a massive thank you on behalf of the club to everybody that's been down over the last few weeks and months. More often than not, in the pouring rain, helping us out to get where we are. We just wouldn't have been able to do it without the people who've come down to help us. So a big, big thank you to everybody there. Personally, yes, definitely the long-suffering wife. Massive thank you to Yvonne for her support. Not just in the club activities, but with my own racing. Obviously, I've got Jensen coming through now as well. She puts a lot of effort in with calming me down when I get frustrated at Jensen, which is, I really appreciate that and all the work that she does on everything RC for us. And then a big thank you to Pottery's Pit Stop and CML Distribution and all the team associated guys.
Yeah,
sweet. Yeah. Percy, I just want to say thank you to Dan and Craig for being up at the track with me for every single week for the last two and a bit months. I probably was a bit optimistic saying we'd run a regional at the end of April when we hadn't even broken ground come February. But yeah, thank you guys for your support. I really appreciate it. And obviously, like Dan just said, everybody else that's supported.
Perfect.
Awesome. Christian. And I'll just quickly say thank you to all of you for giving us another track in a time where we can't stop losing the bloody things. You know, you don't often see a new track pop up. So thank you very much for effectively putting your lives on hold to give us middle-aged men that like toy cars another place to go and waste a weekend.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Perfect. Chris, you want to say thank you to the sponsors, mate?
Yes, mate. A massive thank you to CML Distribution, to RC House, to Schumacher Racing, and to Will Speed. Thank you very much to Will at Will Speed for sending myself personally a little care package with some of the new B7 parts. They're very, very nice. I suggest everybody looks at ordering some if you've got a B7.
Nice. And also thank you to the listeners. Guys, thanks very much for getting involved with our Car Crash of a Podcast that we lovingly produce for you every week. Don't forget to like and share for your chance to be in with a prize at Christmas. Dan, Pete, thanks for coming on, guys. You've been fantastic.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for the invite. Thanks, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Chris,
cheers.
I will see you on the internet.
You will do.